You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really. What's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Thank you all for joining us. Today actually marks the debut of this show, and we're very honored to kick off the show with a very special guest and friend, Dr. Marty Becker. Hi, Marty. How you doing?
Who's your doggy daddy? Who's your doggy daddy?
Oh, yeah,
who's your doggy daddy?
He's a very calm, quiet veterinarian, but he's also been called the best-loved family doctor for pets, and as you can tell, for a zillion reasons. Dr. Marty Becker has championed the people-pet bond all over the globe. You might have seen him on TV and radio. He's got some best-selling books, and he always gives his message with determination, knowledge, and as you can just hear, a little bit of humor. We'll be right back to chat with Dr. Marty Becker on some quirky dog behaviors right after these messages.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah. Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions. Where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart. Every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. For our very first show, we welcome Dr. Marty Becker, the best-selling author and resident veterinarian on ABC's Good Morning America show. Welcome, Marty.
Now I'll flip into my professional mode.
Okay.
I'm seeing clients or I'm on TV. Arden, I love the name of this show. I just see Austin Powers. Oh, Behave. I just hear
we'll
him
try
saying
to get him.
That.
Well, the show's all about us and our 2 and 3 and 4-leggers. After all, it's sometimes what we think are cat and dog misdeeds are just us being human and tripping them up, if you will.
Well, you know what I found out, you know, being a practicing veterinarian or mm-hmm. being on TV or radio or talking to people, you know, in groups of 8 to 8,000, people like to have fun. And so I hope my edutainment style, that's the way we wrote a lot of our books, and that's the way I like to teach, and it's memorable. So hope to have some fun with you guys today, and maybe some people will learn some new things about their pets.
Well, that's very important. And folks, we're in for a special treat, and I'm not talking a dog bone here. Dr. Marty Becker has graciously accepted to actually appear on 2 shows. He's back-to-back. So today, our show is going to the dogs, as Dr. Becker's going to talk about some quirky canine behaviors that he captured in his New York Times best-selling book. I love this title, Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? He co-authored this book with his writing partner, Gina Spadafori. Now, next week, Dr. Becker's going to come back, and he's going to turn his focus on felines. He's going to share some insights from his other New York Times best-selling book, Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet? Again, this one was written with Gina Spadafori. So, Marty, I just got to ask you, this is the most important question of the day. Why do dogs drink out of the toilet?
All right. We just had a party at our house, and I want you to think we have a little dog named Coyote. And,
okay.
And this is a true story. And our neighbor brought Misty, their little Bichon, up here.
Okay.
So you can just see Coyote going, "Hey, Misty, come over here. You can't believe what my mom and dad installed in this room in our house. There's a spring in there, Misty. Come here and I'll show you." And they go in there, and Coyote says, "Hey, Misty, if you cock your head and you listen, you can hear the sound of running water. Now, maybe my mom and dad can't hear it, but with our hearing, we hear that water running, and ah, running water. Now, that means health in the world to us, because it's not stagnant, so there's not pond scum in it or other things that aren't healthy. And even if it doesn't leak a little, which most of them do, this is magically refreshed several times a day. It has a larger evaporative surface, so it stays cooler than my dog dish. And you know what? If my dog dish is made out of metal or plastic, there's a certain taste that's imparted to it that we can taste with our sensitive taste buds. And if you think about it, Arden, you know, when we drink champagne, we drink it out of a champagne flute. When I like
an
ice-cold beer at the pub, it's in a frosty mug. Well, for a dog, that's the perfect vessel to have a great drink of water out of that toilet.
So I guess this is sort of a, you got a flushing success on your hands here with this book, huh?
Well,
you know
what,
I couldn't resist. What?
That was good. That was,
sorry.
You know, the thing with the toilet, too, I always look at real threats. There's certain things that I get alarmed about and I tell my clients about that they need to be very careful about. We just don't see problems with dog drinking out of the toilet as far as a medical condition. I know there's cleaners and stuff in there. I know it's not ideal. If you're really worried about it, just keep the lid shut. You know, they don't have an opposable thumb. They're not going to lift the lid up, or just keep the bathroom door shut. But, you know, except for the occasional gross thing they could get into or something, it really doesn't pose a health risk to them.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you cleared the air on that. And now we're talking again to Dr. Marty Becker. He has co-authored a very fun but informative book called Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? I love the subtitle, 101 of the Most Perplexing Questions Answered About Canine Conundrums, Medical Mysteries, and Befuddling Behaviors. I mean, you've written a lot of great books. I just wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write this book, and even more importantly, how did you get the questions and dig up the answers for some of these really cool things in your book?
Well, we had, you know, you mentioned my co-author, Gina Spadafore. Gina and I are both columnists, newspaper columnists, and so we get the same questions over and over again. I get them when I'm out in public. I get them when I'm doing you know, live radio interviews. I get them when, for people that are interviewing for magazines. I get them one-on-one, and Gina does as well. So we just took the most common questions that we get, and then when you get to the, you know, we wrote it in a different style. And I'm going to shamelessly tell you where I got the idea. I was going through an airport.
Okay.
And number one New York Times best-selling book called Why Do Men Have Nipples? And I read through this
book. I missed that book. Sorry.
Oh, that book is fantastic, but it's written in a sassy, irreverent, edutainment style. And I thought, gosh, this is so memorable, the way they answered these questions. So we reached out to, you know, 50 of the world's top experts in medicine and behavior.
Okay.
And so when you get to the back in the acknowledgement section, you'll realize that the answers are authentic, that we really did our homework. But, you know, if you just read the answers to these questions, you know, you're going to laugh while you learn.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And, you know, I'd like to paw through some more pages from the book, Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? Because, you know, there was one that really did draw me to laugh and to learn. And the question deals that a lot of people see it. They go to a dog park, and this neutered male will go up to another neutered male, and all of a sudden they're doing the hump. And then you go and see a female doing the same. So I guess, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but the question is, are some dogs gay? Is that what they're doing when they're humping?
Now I think of another song, the hump, hump, hump. Hump, hump, hump. I was thinking of these songs my son listens to. Well, there are animals. I actually have a book on my shelf that talks about homosexuality in the animal world. So, you know, let's be real. There's homosexuality everywhere.
Do they wear rainbow bandanas or
what? You know, the one thing I love about you, I love to have fun. So I don't know who can out-corny the other one, but
It's a tie. But you're the honored guest, so go away.
I love your spirit. Well, you know, humping is a dominance or submissive behavior. So if you watch dogs come together, there's a whole orchestration, some of which includes humping. Like, for example, when a dog cocks its leg to urinate, what they're trying to do is the higher they, you know, you'll see these little tiny dogs that'll do almost a headstand to urinate. They're trying to get their urine higher up on a vertical surface so that the air can catch it and spread it further. I call it, you know, checking your P-mail. You know, they go over to this tree or this signpost or some vertical surface, and they log on and check their P-mail, and some days they go over there and like, oh, my God, how many messages do I have, you know? And they're
I
don't know if I could take this. And and they can tell the sex of the dog. They can tell if it's been spayed or neutered. They can tell if it's in heat. They can tell if it's been stressed. So, you know, it's kind of like Googling each other. It's kind of like Facebook for dogs. They're checking this information. Sometimes we get frustrated with our dogs when they take a long time to go number two, and you're up here in an Idaho winter thinking, Cody, do your business. Be quick, be quick. His little cue words, be quick, be quick. And he doesn't want to be quick. And
a friend of mine calls it, go 5 seconds, go 5 seconds. I'm like, whatever.
They're putting a little, I call it a fecal flag, but it's like gang signs, you know. They, not only is it something that has an odor to it, but it's visually marking their territory. And you'll see dogs go from quite a distance over to check out this gang flag that's been put there. When they finally meet, you know, there's this whole ballet of body language. One dog, usually the more dominant dog, smells the other one first. And will allow the other one to, you know, they'll lick the submissive dog will lick the one's face. The dog that's submissive will sometimes submissively urinate. The submissive dog will sometimes roll over on its back and expose its belly. And and that humping thing is a dominance issue of them wanting to show that they're exerting dominance over another dog, over your leg, over the couch, over a stuffed bunny. And for some dogs, it actually is pleasurable, too. I don't know if you've ever seen those dogs, but some of them have their special little toy. You know, I'm holding my... You know, and my signs up special toy.
So, do you have any advice? Any advice if you're at the dog park and your dog is either the humper or the humpy on how to tactfully divert this behavior to something more, I guess, humanly acceptable?
Well, you know what's funny about that? See, there's certain things that we just don't like as humans. Like cats, our dogs love to snack out of the litter box. You know, that's, to them, it's undigested protein. You know, let's face it, they don't have the most discriminating palate, you know. I mean, a dirty diaper, the cat box, the empty garbage can, it just seems repulsive to us. But to them, it all just seems like a protein source. And the thing of a dog going up and humping another one, to us, is, you know, especially in front of a new visit to the dog park or other company, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is embarrassing. But what the behaviorist will tell you to do is to redirect the behavior. So, you know, if a dog is doing that, you need to take the dog away from the source if he's on a leash and walk him away from that. And also when you're, you know, you scold them verbally and redirect their attention. But the best thing is to just take them away from the source of the activity.
Okay. Now, speaking of, you know, we've been talking all these fun things, pee and poop, we have to continue on that because, you know, inquiring minds, Dr. Marty Becker, really want to know, what is the easiest way to scoop the poop? Now, you and I go to a lot of pet trade shows. We get bombarded with a lot of companies that have the newest, the latest gadget to pick up poop and all these things. But for our listeners, any tips on, you know, all our dogs have to do the deed, and what's the best way to pick up the poop?
Arden, we call that picking up where your dog left off.
Very good, very good.
Well, I'm going to tell you several tips on that. Number one, the better quality food you feed, the less feces you're going to have to clean up. So, you know, better food going in means less waste products going out. And that's whether you're buying commercial food or home cooking, which, you know, you wrote a very, very successful book on that. So, you know,
you can plug me shamelessly if you'd like. Real Food for Dogs. Thanks. That was a nice plug. Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. And the other thing that people don't think of, there's a compelling reason for whatever you pick these feces up with to pick it up often, because the internal parasites, the you know, the hookworms, the roundworms, the whipworms, they have to go through a cycle in the yard before they come to the infective stage. So So if you keep the feces picked up, that they never get to the infective stage, so it never seeds your lawn down with all these worms. And you can't see the immature forms of them. You know, you can't go out there with your bare hands and part the grass and go, oh my gosh, you know, they're in there. I mean, they're microscopic. So mm-hmm. you want to keep them cleaned up often. I clean our yard up every 2 days. And what I do, there's two things I do. I live up in the mountains of northern Idaho, but my mother-in-law lives in town. We just use the regular old pooper scooper, you know, the one with the little bin on the one side and the little thing that you put it in on the other side.
Like but, the rake?
A little rake, yeah. But mm-hmm. one thing that we do in town is we use a doggy septic tank, the doggy dually.
Oh, I don't know this one.
It works year-round. It fits right in the ground, so it's inside the ground. It has a little lid you lift up, and you put the feces inside the little septic tank, and then uh-huh. you add water to it and a little digestive enzymes every once in a while. But then you're not putting the feces into, you're not flushing it down the toilet where it's going into, you know, the sewer system, and you know some of the problems with cat litter and other things that have been flushed, and those things don't dissolve, you know, so you're not throwing it in the municipal garbage or the garbage or putting it down the toilet, but it's just a little, it's called a doggy dually, D-O-O-L-E-Y.
Okay, well, now that we've got the scoop on the poop, we're going to take a break right now for some messages, and we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Marty Becker.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Attention, passengers. Please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah. So let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We have been talking with the delightful Dr. Marty Becker, America's best-loved vet and co-author of the New York Times bestseller called Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? He wrote that with his writing partner, Gina Spadafori. We just got the scoop on poop, and now we want to move into some other fun doggy behaviors from the book he covers. For example, you know, something about getting your ears and tummy rubbed. Dogs just go gaga. What's the deal with that? And even more perplexing, can you kind of solve the mystery why some dogs seem to like pump their leg when they're getting a tummy rub? I've always been curious about that.
You know, the funny thing about this book is we answer things like that. Just today, I was out here and a siren went by. I live up in the mountains, and our mm-hmm. two dogs, one dog started howling, and then the other dog started howling, and then the neighbor's dog, who's about where I live, is about a half mile away, started howling. And pretty soon there was this whole chorus of dogs howling, and it's like the singing the school fight song. You know when the fight song starts up and everybody gets it, you know, dun, 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 dun. Well, it's fun. It's like a canine choral group singing or picking up the microphone at canine karaoke. You know, these dogs uh-huh. scattered across the miles are separated by fences. They get to, you know, get in touch with their inner wolf and get to be part of something big. You know, a pack is going on there. And mm-hmm. and like these things with the tummy rubs, we have a dog, you know, you have these nicknames for your dog that you're embarrassed for even your say around the house, let alone for the whole world. And
oh, that's okay. You can tell us. We won't say anything. Come on, Marty. Let's hear some of your nicknames.
Well, we have Coyote. His Coyote is short for Dog Quixote de la Rancha. My wife calls it her little man, and she sings these songs to him, you know, and she gets up there. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows your pain. And aww. Then she rubs his ears, and he does this thing, and she goes, open, close, open, close, open, close. And he opens his mouth a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then all of a sudden, and he lets his big, exaggerated dog yawn. Well, the reason he does that is there are nerves in his ear, and there's nerves on their tummy that when you rub that, you're stimulating those nerves, and it's very pleasurable.
Okay.
And, you know, dogs are a little different than cats. When cats are on their back, that's a defensive posture, and many of us have found out when you rub a cat on the stomach, they go from delight to bite in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But for a dog, when a dog is really happy, you'll often see them laying out in the yard with their belly up in the air. We're getting... getting some sun on their belly. But when you rub their ears or rub their belly, you're rubbing nerves that are very pleasurable for a dog.
Well, that's good. And then I guess I really want to clear the air. Doggy farts. You know what? You can be in a big household, and all of a sudden everybody's, like, talking, and then the dog walks by, and everybody's, like, closing their, you know, putting their shirts up to their noses, you know. But I really want to know, you know what, it's kind of an easy rap to blame the dog for the fart, I guess. So I just want to get your thoughts on doggy farts and why do we find it okay to blame the dog when maybe it's our SBD?
My favorite, SBD, I like that, I got that, SBD. My favorite redneck, I'm a big redneck fan of Jeff Foxworthy. Huh?
Oh, I love that show. Yeah,
you know, one of my favorite ones. If a dog passes gas and you claim it, you might be a redneck.
Oh, no. You wonder if that question's going to be on his show, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I bet the fifth grader should know that answer better.
Well, you know, there are certain foods that make dogs pass more gas. Like some dogs are lactose intolerant, for example. And there are, they have certain dietary indiscretions. There are certain things that they're allergic to. And that's one of the things, if a dog does have excessive gas, I always tell them to talk to the veterinarian.
Okay.
Because it may be the sign of a medical problem. But, dogs are made, out in the wild. I live up here in the mountains where there's wolves and coyotes. And, you know, they can mark their territory all they want. They can chew all they want. They can, they have these anal glands back there that are used to put a certain scent on their feces. It's very distinctive to them. They're used to marking territory. And, I don't know if you ever watch the show Murcat Manor, and you watch those busy little people always marking territory. All these things are normal in their world that they evolved over millennia in, but it's only when we integrate them within the human family that, dogs that are chewing on a piece of furniture or not using the appropriate toilet facilities is where we run into trouble.
Well, the next time Chipper or my dog Cleo happens to go gaseous on me, I am actually going to not blame the dog. I'm going to applaud the dog. How's that? And then I'll pay attention to what's in the diet, so I'll make sure. Because, you know, one of my friends, Flo, she's 83 going on 40. She says, you know what? If she actually exits a little gas, she'll say, you know what? There's more air in the world outside than inside me. So I guess I've learned a lot. Now, there's another popular myth. We're talking again to Dr. Marty Becker in his book, Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? You know, I want to keep, hopefully you can set the record straight. You're a veterinarian. You know a lot. And, you know, I always hear people say that a dog's mouth is really clean, in fact, cleaner than a person's. But is that really true?
Well, let me give you a glimpse into our dog, Coyote. He goes up to the horse barn with me every day when we go up to do the chores in the morning. He, first of all, stops and he gets into the litter box for some kitty Roca. And then he goes out into the corral with me, and he comes out of the corral with a green grin. And then he stops and he excavates a petrified gopher he cached about 3 months ago and gnaws on that for a while. And
oh, my God. Gopher marinade, huh?
Stops and licks himself for about 5 minutes in hard-to-reach places. You can't tell me that that dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth. But here's
where
the myth.
So when do you get the big kiss?
That's the crazy thing about it, is even after you see the dog eat out of the litter box, go through the corral, do all these things, a half hour later, oh, you daddy's princess, go give daddy sugars, and you give this thing the equivalent of a canine tonsil swab.
Oh my gosh.
No, I did a 2020 segment on this very subject.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, great. Okay.
Besides answering this and why do dogs drink out of the toilet, we did a 2020 segment and they tear down to myths. And that one of the, I was the second to the last myth.
Okay.
Is a dog's mouth cleaner than a human mouth? So the short answer is no. But here's where it got its got started at. You see dogs' wounds, and they're very pink, and it was thought that dog saliva had some kind of antiseptic property in it. But actually, the reason the wounds look pink when a dog licks it is because, one is their tongue acts like it surgically debrides the wound. You know, it's like a rasp, and it takes the dead skin off. So, you know, where a surgeon would debride something with scissors or a scalpel or something, they debride it with their tongue. And number two, because of that licking action, it actually increases circulation to that area. So that's how the myth got started. But a dog's mouth is definitely not cleaner than a human's mouth.
Well, that's good because my newest dog is a little one, Cleo, that we call TT for torpedo tongue. And we have to actually warn people. She's a little, we think, I call her a who's your mama, who's your daddy dog. Not really sure of her background, but about 12 pounds of love. And we say to people, really, be careful. Cleo will French kiss you. Oh, no, no, no. She just did. You know, so I have never seen a little dog with such strategic placement of a tongue that I swear must be longer than her entire body. So I really do appreciate that because we want to set the record straight. Marty, I want to ask you, you're up to a lot of things, and I wanted to see if there's any parting comments you'd care to make. And people really want to know what's up with Marty Becker. So you have a wonderful website, drmartybecker.com. But I was hoping you could share a few things that you have up on your slate or maybe even a couple books you've got ready to unveil that our listeners can start planning to either see, hear, or read about you.
Well, one thing I want to say real quick on licking. Our dog actually wears a shirt, custom embroidered shirts that say, "Caution, I can't lick liquor."
So, very good. That's great.
They get it exactly because we have exactly the same kind of dog you have that just loves to lick. And, man, he'll give you a tonsil swab, I'll tell you.
But I love that. I think I'm going to get Cleo that for Christmas.
Close your ears. You want to do it in big block yellow letters. Caution, I can't hold my liquor. It's perfect.
Thank you. That'll be
well,
perfect.
Well, you know what? I, like you, have been blessed to communicate about animals. And I was born and raised on a farm in southern Idaho. I was... You know, our dairy cows had names. You know, I was there when that dogs made that migration of biblical proportions from the barnyard to the back door to the bedroom to sleep. I'm in my 11th year as the Good Morning America veterinarian. I'll be on.
Oh, that's great.
26 is the next date. Have new books out, one called Bow Wow and another one called Meow Wow, and also Why Do Horses Sleep Standing Up, which is the companion to Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet. Working on a new, a probable new PBS show.
Good. I know you did one before. That was a special, a PBS special, right?
Yeah, it was a special called The Pet Doctor with Marty Becker. But I just feel blessed. I love my life. I love my wife. I love where I live. I love the fact that I can help be part of the group that looks after pets, people in my profession. And so every day I can't wait to run up the stairs and see what the day is going to bring.
And you also have a couple of two-leggers now, too. We forgot about your children. We should mention
friend,
any of them following your footsteps?
My daughter, Mikkel, is actually going to follow my footsteps. She's a senior journalism major at the Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University and is going to be my co-author on a couple new books along with Gina.
I can't believe she's a senior in college already. You're so young.
Senior, and my son, wow. Lex, he's a senior in high school. And also, we have a nice website called PetConnection.com, which is the one Gina and I have together where, Gina's a very popular blogger, and people can see all the books that we have for sale in the bookstore on PetConnection.com.
That would be that's very good to know. That's it for today, folks. You are listening to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I again want to thank my guest, Dr. Marty Becker, and our show producer, Adam Winter, for making this show possible. Thank you again, Marty. As always, it's a pleasure, and I'm very excited that you're going to come back next week to be a little catty with me to talk about your next book, Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet?, that you also co-wrote with Gina Spadafore. If you'd like more information about today's show or transcripts of this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio Network, I ask you just to go to the website. It's very easy. www.petliferadio.com. Click on the Old Behave Show. And if you have any questions or comments or ideas for a show, you know, unleash these ideas, please. I'm looking for them. And you can email me at arden@ardenmore.com. You can also visit my website. It's easy, ardenmore.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all of you out there, all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers. Oh, behave.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.